The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. All right. Welcome in, everybody. Just getting set up here. Talking about the Patriots as they announced their 53-man roster for the 2021 season. There is a post up on Guy Boston Sports right now, talking about the fact that, or at least mentioning their 53-man roster, listing everybody who made the cut. So if you do want to go check that out, you're more than free to. Be sure to head over to Guy Boston Sports so you can see that full list. But very exciting is the Patriots have their 53-man roster, and some big news, obviously, the biggest news of the day, being that Cam Newton was cut. The Patriots cut Cam Newton. A lot of people thought he was going to be the starter for the season at the very least, and maybe throughout the season, Mac Jones would take over that role. But as it turns out, the Patriots were doing what a lot of fans, a lot of media in the town were clamoring for, which was to move away from Cam Newton. And this is something that a lot of people thought they should have done after last season, something that a lot of people thought they were going to do after last season. But for whatever reason, the Patriots stuck with Newton. They re-signed him. And now, even though they seem to continue to have faith in him, they brought him back. It seemed like for all intents and purposes, they were ready to move forward with him. They cut him at the end of training camp. And on the one hand, you understand why they did that. It's not hard to see. He was not good last season, did not have a great showing in preseason. I know a lot of people wanted to give him a mulligan and a pass on that interception he threw against the Giants, which is fine. But even outside of that, he wasn't good. Had a good week two preseason game against Washington. It was pretty solid there. But with the COVID issues, everything going wrong for Newton, it seemed like the Patriots were just ready to cut ties. And it's very, again, not very hard to see why. Newton, not the player he used to be by any stretch of the imagination. Athletically, could not hold a candle to the player he was in 2015, that MVP year. So the Patriots just go ahead and turn to Mac Jones, who was fantastic throughout the preseason, great passer rating. I believe he had a 97.4 points, something around there, pass rating. He was in the high 90s there. Completion percentage was about 69.2%. He was fantastic. He's everything I think you could have possibly hoped he would be at heading into the preseason. He, you know, when the Patriots drafted him, I don't think anybody could have imagined that he would be that good, or at the very least, that's the most you could have expected. And the fact that we're sitting here today and he's going to be the week one starter is interesting for a lot of different reasons, and I'm sure we'll get into it. Guys, be sure to utilize the chat. So talk about some questions, either questions you have about the 53-man roster, about Mac Jones. We'll get into all of it. I'll start off by just pulling up the 53-man roster and going through it, since the Patriots did just officially announce this. And there's some names, some notes about the roster that I find very interesting. So we'll share my screen real quick through this, through Safari, so I can pull up the article. Here we go. And I have a From the Raptors background on. Shout out to From the Raptors, but not time for them just yet. Their time will come, as I'll put this one up for now. So the 53-man roster, we have it here. The Patriots only have one quarterback, one QB. Talk about, you saw the tweets, QB1, Mac Jones, QB1. Well, QB only, there's no QB2 right now. It's just Mac Jones. And the interesting thing about this, of course, big note about this, at the very least, is that Brian Hoyer is expected to be re-signed. That's all, what all the reports suggest, that Hoyer's going to be re-signed by the Patriots, and they're going to bring him back and have him be the QB2 while Jared Stidham gets healthy, who's on PUP. So as long as Jared Stidham remains on PUP, it'll be Brian Hoyer. But first, they need to place another player on IR. You don't want to do that if you didn't. You don't want to do that ahead of the 53-man roster cutdown, because if you place someone on injured reserve before the 53-man roster gets finalized, their season is over. It ends their season. You can't do that. It's just a way to get around the rules that NFL teams, the NFL doesn't allow teams to do. So if you want to put a player on IR with the intention of them returning this season, they have to make your initial 53-man roster. So the idea probably here is to make sure or to put N'Keal Harry on injured reserve. That's what the report suggests, that the Patriots will put N'Keal Harry on injured reserve, and they will bring Brian Hoyer back onto the roster for at least a few weeks until Stidham is healthy and ready to return. And at that point, once Harry is potentially back, once Stidham is potentially back, who knows, Hoyer could be off the roster again. But we'll get into I'll show down here the injured, the reserve, the PUP players that are still technically on the roster, but not exactly not exactly part of the 53. They can return different times. The IR players, these players will not be returning this season at all. Anthony Jennings, Raekwon McMillan, Dalton Keene, Marcus Martin, and Troy Fumagalli, their seasons are over. They're done for the year. They won't be coming back for the Patriots this year, unfortunately, especially in the case of Dalton Keene and Anthony Jennings, two third-round picks that from 2020 that supposedly had some promise. The Patriots drafted in those mid rounds to help them out, and both those guys done for the year. Dalton Keene's career in New England, for all intents and purposes, might be over. With Devin Asiasi showing some promise, and obviously Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry both in the fold. Hard to see Dalton Keene finding a role in this team at any point in the future. And Raekwon McMillan, also unfortunate to see, of course, a free agent signing of the Patriots. Could have helped out at linebacker. The NFI list, Joshua Bledsoe and Cameron McGrone, nothing there too notable. PUP, pretty important. We talked about Jared Stidham. So all these guys on PUP will be out for the first 6 weeks of the season, at least, potentially longer. If any of these guys, particularly as this relates to Stephon Gilmore, if any of these guys don't return, their contract just rolls over to the next season. So if Stephon Gilmore spends the entire season on PUP and he never plays, he does not become a free agent after this year like he's set to. He would be on the team next year for the same contract as well. And so that's going to be potentially interesting in contract negotiations with Gilmore and his status with the team. That could be something to monitor. But you have Jared Stidham there, Terrez Hall, Byron Cowherd, a couple of notable names that could be coming back. We'll get into the rest of the roster. Sony Michel obviously traded. So the Patriots have Damian Harris, James White, Ramondre Stevenson, J.J. Taylor, and Brandon Bolden. And I'm interested to know what you guys think of this depth chart at running back. This is the way I had it listed. I wonder what you guys are going to have to say, because personally, I think that this is probably how it'll shake out. I know Ramondre Stevenson had a great preseason, but I can't see him taking that role over for Damian Harris. Harris still showed a lot of promise last year. So I think that is Harris's job to lose. And potentially, who knows, Ramondre Stevenson could do that next season, but I don't see him doing it his rookie year. As good as he's been, the Patriots still have a weird thing about a lot of rookies on the roster, not Mac Jones this time around, but I think it'll be Harris, then White is the third down back. And Stevenson might come in for some goal line carries. He definitely showed some promise with that in preseason, but that's how the running back group shakes out. Jacob Johnson at fullback, wide receiver. This is how I have the depth chart shaken out there. Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, easily the top three. Gunnar Olszewski right now, I've listed at fourth with N'Keal Harry going on IR, supposedly in the coming days, being placed on IR, but he is officially on the 53-man roster, with Slater there as well. Tight end group, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Devin Asiasi. And I talked to a few people about this the other day. I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots come out and really hammer that three tight end grouping. And, put that out there a few times. And people likened it to the Ravens, what the Ravens have done. And now that they have Mac Jones in there, some people are going to think, well, that doesn't make sense. That's not like the Ravens. You don't have a Lamar Jackson type back there. But you can still have an interesting offense with three tight end sets, Mac Jones, a running back, maybe a wide receiver out there. So if you throw out Aguilar, Asiasi, Henry Smith with Damian Harris in the backfield, then you that opens up your play action game because you have three tight ends who can all block and are all potentially big threats in the passing game as well. And I don't want to say I'll stop short of saying great. I think they have two great tight ends. Asiasi, we still have to wait and see. But as a third tight end, I think Asiasi is a great third tight end. Like, to have that kind of depth is huge. So you can roll those three guys out there, and teams will not know whether you're running or passing because you'll have tight ends capable of doing it in both in the blocking game and the passing game. So when you have three guys that you can potentially roll out there, put in the formation, and run routes for you in a high level, that is very, very lethal. I don't care who your quarterback is. I don't care if he's mobile or not. So I think the play that'll be interesting. I hope the Patriots roll it out. I hope to see it this year. And even though they don't have Cam Newton anymore, who could have brought a different element to that, I suppose, I'm excited to see with Mac Jones. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I honestly think that if you're asking me if I'd like to see more of those three tight end sets, more, you know, the wide receivers, I think we've seen – I mean, I'm interested to see what Aguilar and Bourne can bring, I suppose. But – the wide receiving group doesn't inspire me. The tight end group does. I want to see what Asiasi can do. I want to throw three tight ends out there because they have two elite ones. And I would rather see, you know, Asiasi out there than Olszewski at times, certainly. So, I mean, if their top three receivers, I'll give credit to. All those guys are at least okay, and I would take them over Asiasi. But I'd like to see them, you know, mix things up a bit. Don't throw those other guys out there if you have to. Throw Asiasi out there and see what he can do. Offensive line, not much to say about that. Isaiah Wynn, Mike Onwenu, David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Trent Brown are going to be your starters with the backups here. Yassir Durant, who they just acquired from the Chiefs the other day, Justin Heron, Ted Karras, and Yodney Kajust. So that is your Patriots starting offense. It's Gear saying if there's no way they don't bring Hoyer back. They really have to. You can't go into the season with one QB, certainly with Jared Sittum on PUP. So they'll bring Hoyer back. It's just a matter of whether he'll stay with the team beyond midseason when supposedly they'll get Sittum back. I know Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal said that he believes Jared Sittum is the number two once he returns off PUP, and that is his job to lose. It's not going to be Brian Hoyer's. Phil saying, is Abike part of the 53? No, he is not. I don't know if that was an inside joke that I missed. With Gilmore on PUP, that hurts the Pats' cornerback position. And we'll get to the cornerback position, and we'll get to that defense in a second. It's Gear saying, with both tight ends having past injury problems, Asiasi might have a good season. And that's a good point, It's Gear, certainly. And I Hunter Henry, much more than Jonnu Smith, but Henry's dealt with some injury issues, so having that depth of tight end, very important. And I think the tight ends are clearly going to be a big part of their offense. I know the running back group is really, really good, but I wouldn't say they have any elite running backs. I think they have two elite tight ends. I think that all the running backs are good. Harris is good, but he's not one of the game's best. He's not Kamara or Chubb or any of the guys you're drafting in the first round of your fantasy draft, Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, etc. Damien Harris isn't that. Ramondre Stevenson probably isn't that. James White isn't that. They're good. They're a good group, great depth, but they're not great. Henry and Jonnu Smith are both potentially top 10 players at their position in the entire league. So that is huge, and the Patriots should definitely utilize that. I'm sure it'll come in handy with the red zone. They're going to be a lethal, lethal red zone offense. It's just about getting there for them. But once they get in the red zone, with the running backs they can hit you with the tight ends they can hit you with, it's going to be rough for teams out there. It really is, especially with their offensive line. The Patriots' red zone offense should really scare people. Speaking of the running backs, it's Gear also saying Stevenson and Taylor might be more situational this year, but I feel like they will share a similar number of snaps. That's potentially the case. It's Gear, certainly. I think that, you know, they're obviously very different, and Stevenson's going to be that goal line guy. Taylor, who knows? Maybe he gets some work in the punt return, kick return game like we saw him have in preseason. But I certainly think that both of those guys, I mean, have some talent. I like to see both of those guys on the roster. When it was down to who do you keep, if it's Sony, if it's Taylor, if it's Stevenson, I personally wanted to keep Taylor and Stevenson, so I'm glad it worked out that way. Let's get into the defense a little bit now. We already talked about the offense, that what they have there, maybe one of the best offensive lines in the league between these five guys, elite group. The D-line, you have Lawrence Guy, Devon Godshaw, Henry Anderson, Carl Davis. Three really good D-linemen there with Guy, Godshaw, and Anderson. You like to see that. Off the edge, you got Matthew Judon, Kyle Van Noy, Josh Uche. And Uche really flashed during the preseason. I know a lot of people like him, so that's going to be really exciting to have for the Patriots. And Ronnie Perkins as well, someone that flashed during training camp. A lot of people are high on Chase Winovich on there as well, who Winovich kind of fallen out of favor a little bit with the Patriots. You have to wonder, is he a potential trade candidate? I want to talk about that a little bit later as well. And Dietrich Wise, if I didn't mention him. Linebackers, Dante Hightower, Jawan Bentley, Brandon King, Harvey Longhi. Interesting group. Obviously, you also have Judon and Van Noy, who I just mentioned as edge, but that's who you're looking at in the middle. Cornerback group, without Stephon Gilmore, who's on PUP, you have J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, Jalen Mills. That's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots are going to sort that out. And I know, Phil, you were talking about it, that Gilmore being out hurts the Patriots' cornerback position. I think the idea here, based on reports, is that Jalen Mills is going to play outside with J.C. Jackson. Mills didn't look great on the outside, certainly not his primary position, the position he's best at. So if you can get Gilmore back, I'm going to say as soon as possible. It can't be for the first 6 weeks, but you would really, really love to have him back after those 6 weeks are up because they could really use him. That quarterback group is iffy, but I think their front seven is strong enough that they can withstand it. I mean, this front seven, it's like night and day between last year. This is an insanely good group. You're talking about being able to throw out Guy, Judon, Van Noy, Uche potentially, Hightower. If you can throw those four linebackers out there and have, you know, Wise and Guy on the line, whoever it may be, maybe you go nickel there too, and you have Jackson, Jones, and Mills on the field with McCourty and Duggar, something like that. You might have Adrian Phillips on the field too as a linebacker, which we saw he was able to play last season. Maybe Kyle Duggar as we get into the safety group. Duggar, Phillips, McCourty, Davis. We've seen Duggar and Phillips both play in the box. Duggar in year two, you wonder what the Patriots' plans are with him, what Bill Belichick's cooking up, a super athlete, and people should really be excited about what he could potentially bring to the table in year two. So the secondary may be a little bit questionable. You might be feeling iffy about it without Gilmore. If they can get him back, this defense is going to be a problem for a lot of teams across the league. They just need to get Gilmore back as soon as possible, and they need Gilmore to be his Stephon Gilmore self. He doesn't need to be the defensive player of the year, but he needs to be a top 10 corner. They can't have him be the player that he honestly, to some extent, was last year. He struggled at times last year. They just can't afford any deterioration from Stephon Gilmore. He's getting a little bit older. Obviously, he's in a contract year as well. He's coming off of this injury. The Patriots really can't afford Stephon Gilmore to go out there and fall off a cliff. So they need him to be an elite cornerback like he's been for them so far under this contract. Either way, I think with or without him, your defense is solid, but you go from good to great if you get Gilmore back. Kicker, this was a bit of a shocker for a lot of people. Quinn Nordin being named the kicker after an iffy preseason to some extent, wasn't great. Had some big missed kicks in week two of the preseason. People thought that was going to cost him his job. Didn't think he stood a chance from there. Not the case. Nordin sticks on the roster, is the starting kicker. Honestly, it's a big unknown with Nordin. It's exciting because at the very least, you know he has better leg power than Nick Folk had. So with that being the case, I think people can be hopeful the Patriots actually have something at kicker and he can develop into something. And hey, when you get on the 33-yard line, you can actually line up for a field goal as opposed to Folk, where you had to get him at least within 40 yards to 40-yard attempt to really trust putting him out there with his old leg. That's definitely encouraging. It makes me feel better. But if Nordin's going to be missing those kicks and going to be inconsistent, obviously that's going to be an issue. But we'll see how it works out. You can be hopeful there. Punter Jake Bailey alongside with Joe Cardona. Not much to mention there. We already went through the injuries. So that's it. That's the 53-man roster this year. And I know you guys have some other questions too. It's Gear saying, do you think Winnow finishes the season on the team or will he get traded? Honestly, and I did want to talk about this, it's Gear. I wouldn't be surprised if Winovich is traded over the next 2 weeks. I'm a little bit surprised that he hasn't already been traded already. It seems like the Patriots are moving on from Chase Winovich. They have Perkins. They have Judon Uche to rush the passer. They don't want Winovich anymore. They didn't put him out as much as they should have last year. They're not utilizing him to his full extent. He would be more valuable to another team. I think maybe it's driven by what they can actually get. I thought we were going to see a player-to-player swap. I'm not saying Chase Winovich is horrible or trash or anything of the like, but kind of a one, you know, you're one man's trash, another man one man's trash is another man's treasure. Your player that's going to get cut for my player that's going to get cut. I thought they could find some team that they really wanted someone from to ship Winovich off to and get a player in return. So far, not the case. We'll see if now that 53-man roster has been finalized, some team that was being stingy that was saying, hey, you don't want Chase Winovich anyway. Why would we give up something of value for him? If some team comes along and says, all right, fine, you call that bluff. We really want Winovich this season. We'll give you player X or a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, something of the like. I think considering Winovich was, what was he, late second, early third? I forget exactly where he fell, but I knew it was in that range. I would say that a fourth back for him would be a good deal. A fifth back for him might be a little bit more realistic. I know that's low. I know Winovich might be better than that. I would love a third or a fourth, or I would really love a player if the Patriots can target a player that they feel like they need, maybe a wide receiver. Maybe they're able to call up some team out there that needs edge players that they can get a receiver from. I know the Steelers were mentioned as a potential destination that Winovich could fit with. Certainly they have a lot of wide receivers. Maybe they're willing to move off of James Washington, who I believe is still on the roster, since they have Deontay Johnson. They have Chase Claypool in the fold there already. So potentially that's a team you could look to and say, hey, you know, we need receiver threats. We'll go ahead and offer you, Chase Winovich for James Washington. Not exactly maybe a trade that would very excite people, but I think that's a realistic option for the Patriots, who seem, I don't want to say eager to move off of Winovich, but they seem very open to it. Phil saying Uche is going to be a beast with Judon. And we did mention that Uche had a great preseason, really showed it off at times. As you guys saw, that I was Googling James Washington to make sure he was still on the Steelers. I wasn't messing with that. But yes, James Washington, potential threat there. As far as Uche goes, I do want to close this out kind of and just go back to the questions. We talk a little bit back and forth here. Uche, we talked about it. He had a great preseason and really flashed a lot and seemed like the Patriots, he was heading places and the Patriots really liked him. Obviously, with Kyle Van Noy in the fold, I'm interested to see how that's going to work. I'm interested to see they went out and paid Kyle Van Noy a fair amount this offseason. So, but I think Uche has probably shown enough to warrant the Patriots saying, well, let's actually, you know, let's stick with him. Maybe we want him over Van Noy. Maybe we want, him to be our edge threat, our guy there, as opposed to Van Noy. So that's very interesting. I personally think that, you know, as good as Van Noy has been for them in the past, there's a reason he was cut by the Dolphins. So if he's a depth player this year as opposed to the starter and Uche takes over that role, I wouldn't be surprised at all. It's Gear saying having Karras might be very important this year. Hopefully Andrews can stay healthy, but Karras is a very good backup whenever he needs to fill in. Absolutely, it's Gear. We know Andrews has had his host of problems in the past, and the fact that Karras is there in case those pop up again, is very important. But I don't know that those are going to pop up again. I would be hopeful at least that they would, and that David Andrews can finish the season. You know, nothing. No reports are out right now suggesting there are any major problems as far as that's concerned. So let's not ring the alarm bells before anything happens. Phil saying you're concerned with Mills' speed, certainly an issue. Like we've said, there's a reason Mills has been a safety throughout his career and in the box safety at times, playing in the slot. So, Mills, I think that it's definitely an issue to have him on the outside, and that's why you need Gilmore back. And I know you mentioned earlier that you were iffy about the cornerback position because of Gilmore's absence. So that's going to be something the Patriots are just going to have to deal with. And it's unfortunate because it's almost the inverse of what it was going into last year, at least, when you had J.C. Jackson and Stephon Gilmore and Jonathan Jones and Devin McCourty, all these guys, and it felt like, wow, our secondary is elite. But you couldn't stop a run to save your life because your front seven was just atrocious. Now, a little bit the opposite of that, you still have guys like J.C. and Jonathan Jones around, but without that big horse, without the man himself, Stephon Gilmore, your best player potentially on your defense when he's at his best, That changes things drastically. It's Gear saying Barrymore is going to dominate. We'll see. Again, the Patriots have a lot of talented guys in their front seven. It's going to be competitive. He'll have a lot of people to learn from potentially. I know that they talked about hooking certain young players up with Patriots legends of the past and kind of getting them to maybe impart some wisdom on them. I know Ramondre Stevenson spoke about doing that with LeGarrette Blount. I wonder if Barrymore has done that or would do that with Vince Wilfork. I would really love to know that. And I think that would be a great fit for him because obviously you're hoping he can do that. And Phil saying, I like Barrymore too. So everybody's high on Barrymore. I like Barrymore. I think it's going to be competitive up there. The Patriots, if he's not ready to go right away, obviously Lawrence Guy's not going anywhere. Henry Anderson, they seem to really like, but the opportunity there is the opportunity is there for Barrymore if he wants to step into that role. Phil saying, Pats are loaded at linebacker. Winnow could be the odd man out. And that's been being said for a while, even back towards the draft when they initially drafted Ronnie Perkins. Before he even showed out at camp and furthered this discussion, and before Uche showed out at camp and proved, hey, the Patriots might have something here as well, where they didn't really see much from last year, discussions were being had that, hey, Winovich is probably the odd man out here. And it seems like that's especially the case now. It seems like the Patriots just don't like his play style. People have said, you know, pin the ears back, go after the quarterback at all costs, undisciplined, which is what some people have said about Winovich's game. He's just looking for the sack. He doesn't play the run very well. And the Patriots, and you know Bill Belichick, hates that. And, of course, the Patriots were terrible against the run last year. So this is part of why. So interesting that, Winovich has been seemingly so out of the fold. They haven't been able to work out a trade. We haven't heard many rumors. But you didn't hear any rumors about Cam Newton being cut either. And that just happened out of the blue. So who knows? Any day now, we could hear word that Winovich, his time is up, and he's out of New England. So don't be surprised if the news comes across the screen that he could be done. So that's definitely something to monitor. And it's ear saying, is Brandon Cooks worth targeting in a trade for us, in your opinion? If he was made available by the Texans, I think that it's worth a look. Honestly, though, if I was to pick right now, who would I rather have, Nelson Agholor or Brandon Cooks? I'd probably have Nelson Agholor. He's going to do a lot of the same things for you. He did similar stuff with Oakland last year as a deep threat. And Cooks is kind of cooked. I mean, at this point in his career, it feels like he's been around, I think, a lot longer than he actually has. He's only 27 right now, which is with how many teams he's been on, it feels like he might be a lot older. But last year, 81 receptions, over 1,000 yards, his third highest receiving yardage season last year with the Texans. So it could be someone to give a look. I honestly think that as far as their three receivers go, the Patriots are comfortable going into the season with this. I think they brought in Agholor and Bourne because they genuinely liked both of those guys, adding those two to a group with Jacoby Myers and running those guys out there with the tight ends they have, with the running backs they have. I think they're more comfortable than maybe Patriots fans are, but I certainly see that group having being effective in certain ways. Again, I think you need to utilize those tight ends over the wide receivers, over the running backs, because Henry and Smith, when at their best, are both, I said top 10 earlier, when they're at their best, they're both nearing the top five at that position. So if you can utilize those guys to the extent that they need to be utilized at, then you're talking about a very dangerous offense. And look, the Patriots went out there and they paid both of these guys top dollar, so two of the highest paid tight ends in the game now. And they did that because you have to assume they have a plan to utilize these guys to the fullest extent. So, it's just a matter of seeing it on the field because we haven't been able to see those guys much in preseason due to injuries, due to obviously conserving them a little bit, playing it safe, being careful with your big free agent acquisition, not trying to get anyone injured or further injured heading into the regular season and trying to save them for when it counts, especially guys that are a little more fragile like a Hunter Henry. So I think with all those things being considered, it's right to assume, hey, they have a plan here with these two guys, and it's going to be results in the Patriots having a very, very dangerous offense this season. And, I don't know if they can reach, the top five level. Maybe they can get to the outskirts of the top 10, but that would be what you're looking at ideal, especially with a rookie quarterback. And Phil saying, if the Dolphins get Watson, Pat should go after Brissett for QB2. interesting thought, Phil. I don't know that the Dolphins would necessarily move off of Brissett, because you have to assume if they're getting Watson, they're giving up Tua. If that wasn't the case, it'd be a very weird situation. And I was thinking about this today, actually, Phil, that, you know, the Dolphins, if they trade for Watson and he's out for the year, that wastes a year when they potentially could be pretty good. They're coming off a season where they were 10-6. Like, they could potentially be really good. But it seems like, I don't know how the NFL is going to let Deshaun Watson play this year. I have to imagine he's going to be suspended for the whole season at some point, or put on the exempt list, or something's going to happen. So I would have to think that Tua is going to be shipped out. Tua is going to be part of any package. If he's not, I don't understand. That's, again, just a very weird situation for Tua, that you're putting him in as a young quarterback who is basically a lame duck quarterback. He knows you're going to move off him because you just traded for Deshaun Watson, and you force him to play for 1 year for you. It's just, it's too weird of a situation. I would assume he's going to be part of that package going back to Houston, and Brissett could potentially be their starter for a year if Watson is indeed out for that length of time. At the very least, if Watson isn't for some reason, I don't understand how that's even possible, but I think Brissett would be there too. I can't see a situation where Tua is still on the Dolphins with Deshaun Watson. That would be crazy to me. So I think Brissett is there no matter what. And at the end of the day, Hoyer Stidham is your number two. Hopefully you don't have to worry about it, and hopefully Mac Jones is able to stay healthy. It's Gear saying, how high am I on Zach Wilson and Tua? Both of those guys, they, you know, coming out of college, they were touted as these dynamic quarterbacks who, you know, likening to the of course, Josh Allen's and Patrick Mahomes of the world, who could do everything, make these incredible throws on the run. And Tua, of course, more high profile than Zach Wilson, being that Tua was at Alabama. But so far in his NFL career, Tua has shown so much inconsistency, so much inaccuracy, has had real interception problems, especially at practice, when I think he threw 4 or 5 in one of the practices early on this year. It's not good at all, one of their joint practices. And Zach Wilson so far hasn't done anything in the preseason to wow me. So I definitely want to see a lot more from Zach Wilson at the NFL level coming out of college. He was an exciting player, an exciting prospect, and I understand why he went second in the draft. But it's just too early to make a judgment on him until we really see a few weeks of him. Having seen Tua last year, his stock is way, way down to me. I can't express how much I actually liked Tua coming out of college and when he was at Alabama. I mean, those Russell Wilson comparisons didn't seem all that crazy. It seemed like he had a little bit of that in his game, and we just haven't seen that with Miami at all. And it seems it's funny because they have this, obviously, quarterback room with Tua, with Jalen Hurts, and with Mac Jones. And it seems like early on, I mean, at least from what we've seen, the sample size so far, and again, it's small, but Mac Jones could be the best of the group. Like, he's really showing something here, obviously, with the Patriots. And that would be quite the thing since he was the third quarterback with them. I did want to mention, too, a little bit of a sneak peek, so to speak. I don't know that I'm going to actually show you guys any of the info from this, but an article coming out later tonight about the Mac Jones situation, him starting for the Patriots over Cam Newton, and the fact that rookie quarterbacks who have started, at least the ones that are taken in the first round, usually it doesn't turn out so great for the team. You know, the player might go on to have a great career, but the team in that rookie season isn't that successful. And could that potentially be something we're looking at for the Patriots? I believe it was 15 rookie quarterbacks taken in the first round since 2013 have started 10 games. So there's a lot a lot of words there. But basically, the rookies that are taken in the first round every year, there's 15 of them, 15 of the quarterbacks that have started at least 10 games in their rookie season. You have names like Teddy Bridgewater, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert on that list. There's a number of other guys that I'm blanking on right now. Did I mention Kyler Murray? And Daniel Jones is on that list as well. A host of names. None of those guys have finished with an above 500 record. None of them in their rookie season. And very discouraging. Teddy Bridgewater had the best record at 6-6. And that's the only guy on the entire list that was 500 of those 15 guys. So teams that have taken these first-round rookie quarterbacks, these highly touted quarterbacks, and have rolled them out there as their primary starter for the majority of the season, those teams have not done well in their years. And there's a lot of factors that go into that, but at the very least, it's a discouraging sign for the Patriots. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad omen. There are rookie quarterbacks that have led their teams to the playoffs, starting over 10 games. It happened a lot from 2008 to 2012. I think it happened 7 times just in that 5-year stretch. But other than that weird 5-year stretch, it's only happened, I believe, 4 other times in the entire history of the NFL. 4 times other than that little weird time period. So it's a little discouraging. Obviously, the Patriots hoping to improve. Kind of a soft landing for Mac Jones. A lot of talent around him, which isn't necessarily the case with a lot of the teams that draft quarterbacks in the first round. But just something to think about, something to monitor. That, hey, this could – you know what? At the end of the day, you need to be aware that, yeah, we're all excited about Mac Jones. We're all excited about what he could be in the future and if he could be your quarterback of the future for the Patriots and quarterback for years to come. But at the end of the day, you're starting a rookie, and that comes with its own host of issues and problems and potential hiccups along the way and growing pains and rookie mistakes. So just something to think about, that the Patriots, well, yes, this is probably what was best for the team. I think Mac Jones is better than Cam Newton right now, but you are starting a rookie. And that's a little bit scary. At the end of that sentence, no matter who the rookie is, a little bit scary. A couple more comments about the wide receiver position we'll get to before we get out of here. Do you think Gunnar has any future at the wide receiver position? And Phil saying a little concerned with Aguilar. He did have an injury, and hopefully he'll be ready for Week 1. As far as Gunnar goes, I'm not sure about Gunnar. I think that at the end of the day, people talked about him being on the roster bubble this year, that he could potentially be cut, which was a little bit surprising considering how great he was as a returner last year. But, the Patriots were able to hold on to him, and that wasn't the case. So we'll see. I don't think they're going to have any major plans for him this year. Had some moments in preseason, had some nice throws from Mac Jones, also had some drops in there, I think 2 big ones. He was a little bit overthrown on that deep ball in the first game from Mac Jones. Mac Jones able to drill it to him on a play in that second game, and then he had that drop in the third game that was pretty bad on a great throw from Jones. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops. I think right now it's hard to see him supplanting Aguilar, barring health, as Phil was saying, Bourne or Jacoby Myers. I can't see him moving up the depth chart ahead of any of those guys, but we'll see. The Patriots are going to have another year with him. He's going to be with the coaching staff, going to be with Troy Brown and continue to develop that. So could he? It's possible. I know a lot of people love to compare him to Julian Edelman. Those comparisons aren't fair just yet. He still has a long way in his development to go to even get close to that. But certainly you'd love if he can turn into a player you can utilize in the passing game. As far as what you guys are saying, Phil saying, I think Mac will break that streak. And the talent and the defense we have. I hope you're right, Phil. You know, it's been 8 years. Back in 2012, that was a lot different. RG3, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson all made the playoffs that year. Of course, RG3 and Luck being the only 2 of those in the first round. Wilson was a later round draft pick. But it's been a while. So hopefully Mac Jones can break that streak, certainly. And last question from Itzky here before we get out of here. Do you think Jimmy Moreland could be a possible option for the Patriots to pick up at corner? It's geared not educated enough on that for you to answer. I think right now the Patriots are pretty comfortable with their cornerback group. Juwan Williams was someone who was on the roster bubble going into the another guy that was on the roster bubble going into cut down day, and he was able to stick on the roster. And certainly picking up Sean Wade was as well. So I think as far as depth pieces are concerned, they're fine with those guys, and they're going to be okay moving forward with the group they have in the hopes that Gilmore can eventually return. All right, guys, thanks for coming out for this episode of the show. Really appreciate it. Go check out that article that I talked about that's going to be up in, I would say, conservatively a half hour. I'll try to get up in the next half hour for you guys to check out. Appreciate you guys coming out. And also an announcement. I know it's gear. This is going to be a big one for you. I don't know if, and Phil, I appreciate you coming in the chat too, that I am going to be doing Patriots post-game streams. Ev's going to do the Celtics post-game, and we've had talks about starting up a Patriots post-game, so I'm going to take the reins on that every week after the Patriots games. I'm going to be live talking on post game for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the game. And we're going to have a lot of fun. I got this set up now. As you can see, a little bit of a Patriots setup. Might need something over around here. I don't know. Maybe I can just move up. But who knows? I'll work on this a little bit and get something going for you guys. But, yes, Patriots post-game streams are coming. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. We had so much fun doing the Celtics post-game streams. I had so much fun filling in for Ev when I was able to. So now transitioning into that Patriots post-game stream life, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm excited to see you guys there. And hopefully we can really get something going and have a good time with those. And hopefully it builds into something similar to what Ev's had with his Celtics post game streams, because I know he has a blast over there. Had a blast talking to all you guys, Phil and Gear, on those shows. So hopefully we can get a good community going with the Patriots post game streams as well. And that should be a whole lot of fun. But thank you guys for coming out for this one, talking about the 53-man roster and this announcement that we're gonna have the post game streams all throughout this season. Really excited once again for that. And thanks for coming out, guys, and listening. You can check this out. This is going to be also on Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. This is going to be posted in podcast form. We also had an episode yesterday before Cam Newton was cut, before all this information came out, talking about Mac Jones, if he should start this season. I gave some cool thoughts on there. So if you want to check that out again, you can. Once again, guys, thank you for watching, and I'll see you after week one for the first post-game stream.